Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Week Podcast, the place where you get all of your car news, the latest in racing, and everything in between. Today, we've got a very special interview with one Elio Castroneves on the back end. But before we get there, we're talking about the latest from Ram and a new king of the Nürburgring. Well, king, kind of. King of the executive car record of the Nürburgring. But before we even get there, you're joined today by, of course, me, Wesley Wren. We have the great Robin Warner talking today. Robin, how's it going?
Very well. How are you?
Oh, not too shabby. And the legend among legends, the king of the ring, Mr. Wes Reynolds. Mr. Warner, you have a little information on the Nürburgring record and the Porsche that may or may not have toppled it.
The Porsche indeed did topple it by just a couple of tenths of a second in the executive car class, which is a specific class developed by the Nürburgring, like the official Nürburgring Association. They have this class. The current record holder is the four-door Mercedes AMG GT, but the Porsche Panamera apparently also fits as an executive car and has pimped that Mercedes by just a few tenths of a second. So with a 7:29.81 time, Porsche factory driver Lars Kern now holds the record in the new, yet-to-be-announced Porsche Panamera.
Now, is this the replacement for the current Panamera, or is this a special variant of the current Panamera?
So this is an updated Panamera, and it is updated with, quote, more horsepower and some new technologies, including a new tire. And there are rumors going around of exactly what that means, but we're very, very suspicious that this is going to be an updated Panamera Turbo S.
Well, Robin, I hope it has four updated tires, because if it only has one tire, it's not going to go very fast around the ring.
That it's going to have four versions of one tire, which is a newly developed Michelin Pilot Sport Cup 2 tire. But it will have four of said tire on it. Worry not.
Sounds like a perfect combination of tires to car ratio to me. But you can watch that video, if I'm not mistaken, on autoweek.com. It is a rousing view.
It is a rousing view for about 8 minutes, including introduction and close. The lap itself is 7.5 minutes. And we're now getting to the place where an executive car, quote unquote, can lap the Nürburgring in roughly the same time as a 911 GT3 could, roughly, I don't know what it was, 10 years ago, less than that even. So, you know, lots of advances in power and tire and other technologies are really making lap times come down. It's pretty impressive.
That is impressive. And almost as impressive as the other news that we've seen this week. This news actually is from Ram, and it's kind of been a long time coming. Ram officially showed off the production variant of its TRX, the off-road Baja Raptor fighting version of its Ram pickup truck with a, believe it or not, 702 horsepower, 6.2 liter V8 engine that should sound exactly like the Hellcat powered Challengers and Chargers. Mr. Reynolds, what do we know about the TRX?
We know that it's wild. It's basically, you know, it's if SRT, I don't know why they didn't put the SRT name on it. Maybe it is in there somewhere. I don't know. But it's kind of crazy. I mean, a 700 horsepower pickup for the desert sounds like a hell of a lot of fun to me. They say it'll go 118 miles an hour, but I bet you that's limited, like electronically limited. But Warner's more of a engineer than me, so he could speak to that. But it's also got 650 pound speed of torque. It's got crazy off-road equipment, all the good stuff, shocks, springs, tires, you name it, for racing across from, you know, Vegas to LA across the desert. It's going to be fun to drive. Can't wait to get my mitts on one. The cool thing, or cool slash ironic, I guess, is it the interior looks kind of like a luxury car, which, you know, is sort of the trend in big pickups these days. They, a lot of them look in, are as comfortable inside as a you know, a German luxury sedan, and this one's no exception. And a lot of them ride the same, and I bet you this thing's going to ride beautifully, because the way they tune these trucks for desert, they're soft, and it's gonna be a whale of a lot of fun to drive.
I believe
that's
it.
My 2.5 cents.
And let's be very clear. I love the regular, just the base Ram 1500. I think it's one of the, I haven't driven a new F-150, so the 2021 F-150 yet. But I absolutely think that the Ram is the current leader of the big three or four, if you want to count GMC.
You can't, you could throw a blanket over all three of them as far as I'm concerned. The Ford, the Ram, and the Chevy. They all drive like luxury cars. They all have beautiful interiors now.
Yeah.
They're tough as nails. I can certainly understand why they're the top three best-selling vehicles for a long, long time in the United States, because they do everything. They're comfortable. They ride well. They can tow your house if you spec the car right. It's not a mystery to me at all why everyone is buying a big pickup.
Yeah, and
this one's going to be very cool.
This particular pickup, obviously, it's lining heads up with the Ford F-150 Raptor, which I think when this generation of Raptor debuted with its EcoBoost V6, the 3.5-liter twin turbocharged V6, some former Raptor owners and Raptor soon-to-be owners were kind of disappointed that their factory bro-dozer was not getting a V8, and I think that this TRX is definitely going to sway a lot of those people into a Ram dealership. I mean, there's something about a lifted Baja trophy style truck with a screaming supercharged V8 that is definitely a lot of people want that.
What strikes me is that what we have going on in parallel is we have Ford taking a look at Jeep and saying, oh, we can do better, and brings out the Bronco with a lot of features that Jeep owners would probably love to have. And then now, through Chrysler, through Ram, is looking at the Ford Raptor and saying, oh, I think we can do better here. And they come out with their own version of being improved to what people are asking for with the Ford Raptor. I find that fascinating. But, you know, the Ram, I think, is going to be, you know, it's going to appeal to a lot of people based on the specs, based on the, you know, the big V8 making a lot of noise and that kind of thing. But it's, I think, still very much to be determined if it's actually legitimately better than the Raptor is when it comes to this Baja-style driving in legitimate terms.
Well, I have to point counterpoint on that, Robin. I would be curious to see how many people actually take their Raptors to the dunes or to the desert and really beat on it. I think a lot of these people are kind of cruising the malls, which is not a knock on them. I mean, they're very cool trucks. I would imagine maybe at most 50% of people with a Raptor actually go hit the off-road trails or a desert.
Yeah, oh, sure. They're cruising the malls, but they want to cruise the malls with bragging rights. So they need to make sure that the truck is legit. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I don't know, man. I think these things are, I think they're both, there's room in the market for both of them. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, so what's the next step? We have Rivian sitting there working on some stuff. They're no doubt keeping an eye on this. And then, you know, this would be a natural for GMC Hummer to do an electric version of this. I thought it was kind of interesting. I was hanging out with some people when they did launch the Bronco, getting back to that for a minute, and I thought the interesting question was, one of the first questions somebody asked me was, is it EV? So, you know, EV is very much on people's minds, whether we like it or not. And my point is, so we're going to have Rivian, we're going to have Hummer. There's prime opportunity for those two to both do one of these trucks. There's an electric F-150 in the works. How far away are we from an electric Raptor? Maybe not as far as we think.
Maybe. But going back to the Raptor a little bit, Ford is going to show a 2021, an effectively all new F-150, which, I mean, that should mean a new Raptor as well. And this might be the time where Ford brings the V8 back to the Raptor platform.
Or maybe Ford does both. Maybe Ford does a V8 and an EV.
Maybe. Let me ask you guys another question. How much do you think, because brand loyalty is huge among truck buyers, right?
Probably the highest.
How much does brand loyalty come into these more desert truck style? Is that a way to take customers from one brand to the other? Or if you're a Ford guy, you're a Ford guy and that's the end of it. If you're a Ram guy, you're a Ram guy and that's the end of it.
I mean, we don't know because this is brand new, right? This TRX. So we don't really know the answer to that. It's going to take a year or two to suss that out, in my opinion.
It will be interesting to see the crossover from Jeep buyer to Bronco buyer, and also prospective Raptor buyer to the TRX. I think that would be a fascinating chart to see.
Yeah, generally speaking, though, Warner, you're right. This is like the highest customer loyalty going. You know, a Chevy guy is a Chevy guy is a Chevy guy.
Right, yep,
and
exactly.
It doesn't matter what Ford or Ram do. Or God knows Toyota, he would never consider that.
Or Nissan.
So, yeah, whether that extends into these off-road sort of quote-unquote specialty trucks, I think personally remains to be seen. But the automakers probably know, or at least have an idea.
Well, I'm sure they do, or else they wouldn't have made it. But I think that about sums up this week in the news. However, after the jump, we have a great interview with Robin Warner talking to Elio Castroneves. With the Indianapolis 500 getting closer and closer as my calendar stays in August, Elio Castroneves is approaching maybe his fourth possible Indy 500 victory. And Robin, you sat down with him. What do you guys talk about?
We talked about all kinds of things, and it was a lot of fun to be able to catch up with him and kind of get an idea where his head's at, because he's just in this most fascinating position. He just had a brilliant race win at the IMSA race at Road America, where he and Ricky Taylor won in the rain, and he's gearing up to do another run for the Indianapolis 500 with Team Penske, the best team to run the 500 in. And at the same time, Acura is pulled out of DPI Racing, and he's looking for a job. So he's in this super weird place where he's a very current race winner, very professional. He's been with the best team in the business for decades, and he's looking for a seat. So it was a fascinating conversation to kind of get around all these things that he's going through and understand where his head's at for an Indy 500 with no one in the stands and happening in August, not May.
Well, without any further ado, you can listen to that right now.
So Elio Castroneves, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. You're getting ready to run your 20th Indianapolis 500.
20th. Woo!
That's quite a number, right?
That's quite a big number. I'm ready.
What advantage do you think all that experience will give you for this running?
No question. When every time you go to the track, you understand the process. However, it's funny because you always thinking, okay, he does have experience, you understand, but every time you go into a place that equipment changing, a timing changing, which actually help us, I mean, help my way, because now we only have like, what, three days.
Right, right, instead of that month of May.
Exactly. Now yeah. We have 3 days to basically set up the car for racing and qualify. So that helps, but helps as well to have a great team like Team Penske and have teammates that are definitely going to rely, especially because I haven't been in the car since May last year. So it's more than a year. So
yeah.
All the things, you know, even that I have experience, it helps, no question. However, everyone is different, but you got to go through a little process. But I definitely have the best opportunity to overcome those issues with flawless, hopefully, and go for Saturday and Sunday for qualifying and hopefully for a big day.
Yeah, I guess this is new because this is the first time you're jumping right into the 500. Before, you also had the Grand Prix of Indianapolis to kind of reacclimate yourself to the car. But
which
again,
I think it helps a lot when you have a race before the big one. You know, you get used to not only myself, but also my group, the mechanics, even that they're incredible guys. Most of them from a sports car program, a little mix between the 6 and 7 car over there. However, everyone, it's in the same boat here. But we feel great. We feel ready, and we'll be fun.
Well, you though, this is so you have that experience to lean on, but I think you more than most really feed off the energy of your fans, and you have a whole lot of fans. There's not going to be anybody in the stands. What's it going to be like to race the Indianapolis 500 with 300,000 fewer people in the stadium, in the track?
Well, it will be probably like a practice, you know, or even different than a practice, because normally practice, you know, you have people coming over, but like just an open test, not many people around. However, we're going to be so busy with, because those few days that you might not even notice as much, because everyone is going to be extremely focused on those days. If you remember, it's not only last days, but we are, hopefully the weather will be great, but if it doesn't, you're also going to have to take advantage of every time you are on the racetrack. So yes, it's frustrating because you want to have the fans. This is all about tradition. This is all about a combination of a great spectacle in racing, and you're bringing, you know, the history of the place. And now we're going to a new history, I guess, adding, you know, a race that unfortunately the fans won't be part of it. But the good news is we're going to have a race. So I believe everyone have to agree that at least we're going to have a race. Yes, it might not be ideal as everybody wants, but at least we're going to have the race. And that probably we can scratch that year. A lot of people probably are going to scratch this year, 2020, out of their calendar and start all over 2021. Right. Hopefully I won't scratch. Hopefully I've won the race. This is the year.
Right. I mean, you know, something tells me that 2020 will be one of your favorite years pretty quickly if the results come in. And I think you can just know in your heart that those fans are screaming just as loudly. They're just at home watching on television or out, however they can. They're just not there, you know. But with everything that's different about this year, do you have any traditions that you did in May leading up to the 500 that you can't do?
Well, my birthday, you know, my birthday.
yes.
And I tell you, Robin, because we come the month of May, and we're always talking about the month of May, and all of a sudden it's not the month of May, it's the month of August. So my birthday is not going to be part of this tradition anymore. But it's okay. I'll toughen up and keep it going.
Yeah. Well, you know, I will celebrate your birthday on. I'll celebrate your birthday in August. I think this will be. I'll tell you what. If you want, I'll celebrate this birthday and subtract a year instead of add one.
I like that. Even better. Keep it going.
So the last race of yours I saw was the IMSA race at Road America, and it was fantastic. That was seriously brilliant driving. You put on some crazy moves. You had a really intense racing with the Mazdas. You had obviously severe changes in weather conditions. How did it feel to have your first win in that car in a long time? I think since 2018, how did it feel to get that win at Road America?
It felt great, man. I tell you, normally I'm the one that started the race, and Ricky's the one finish. Ricky was so excited to go and qualify in the car. It's like, no problem. And he did it. He put in the pole position, and he was doing such an incredible job. And I'm like, all right, I got to keep it going. And I tell you what, as you mentioned, we had a great battle with the Mazdas. Basically, they were not giving me any breathing room, and which I have to say, in those conditions, that's when I'm extract the best out of me, because you can't make mistakes. You have to hit the marks every time you're going to a breaking point. And that was exactly what I was doing. At the same time, you got to focus on traffic. This is the type of series that it's not about being fast, but you got to manage well the whole circumstances with different series in the same race. And obviously, when the rain came, we were kind of prepared. But I have to give credit for the team, especially last year in 2019. We had a race in Sebring, and it was a disaster, unfortunately, for us. We were actually slower than GT3. So it was a very tough race, but we learned from it. And in Daytona this year, the second one, not the first, the second one.
The Paul Revere. Yeah.
We started on the rain, and that was a revelation. But at least it was wet enough for Acura, especially the Acura HPD guys, understand what we need to do. And that, for me, my friend, was a perfect scenario that when actually the race came in Road America, we laid out everything, and I trust the car. I knew what it needed to do, and that's why I was able to make those moves. But great job from everyone, from Acura Team Penske, to never give up, and that was the race for us to win, and we nailed.
Yeah, I watched it. I think it was going into turn five, coming down the back straightaway out of three, and you had to swerve around a GTD and get ahead of, I think it was 77 Mazda, and you did it all in one move into five, and it was just incredible drive in the wet, and it was massively impressive.
Thank you.
And it was super cool to see, and I felt like, oh man, that is, you haven't had a win in so long, but boy, like, that's, you can put a stamp on that one.
I was definitely, like I said, Rick and I, we really won it. We didn't have anything. We felt that in the championship, unfortunately for us, because of all the three DNF that we had, we don't have much to lose. So we just go for it, and it paid off.
Yeah, and it's ironic that you have that brilliant performance, and at the same time, we're learning that Acura is leaving DPI, leaving IMSA. You know, you told me that you wanted a race, you wanted to get to 50, you wanted to be a race car driver until you were 50. You're not going to be racing an Acura Team Penske next year. So you looking to get back to IndyCar? What are you hoping to do?
Well, my goal is, obviously, I want to make sure people understand. I have so much fire still in me. I feel that I'm capable. I feel that I'm ready to go. And obviously, in these circumstances, because my name is being connected with Team Penske for over 20 years, because Acura is leaving Team Penske, I didn't want people to think that, like, look, probably Helio is going to be done, that's it, and he's not going to go anywhere. But actually, when Roger gave us the green flag to go and look for another opportunity, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. So, in fact, I did talk to Sindrick, and we were discussing, and it's like, why don't you look for IndyCar? I was like, absolutely. And that's, since then, I've been, you know, making phone calls. I'm ready. I'm ready to go because I know I have a lot to offer. As I mentioned, the experience that I create over the years, not only in IndyCar, but also in the sports car program as well. I learned 3 years with an incredible team, developing with a great manufacturer, Acura. So I want to keep it going, and that's my goal. Obviously, you got to understand a lot of, because racing is a sport that if you don't have support, especially with the sponsorship and financial, it is very difficult. However, I do feel that we have a great amount of a group of teams around the paddock in IMSA and IndyCar that it could obviously take advantage of that. So we have a great place now in Indianapolis to start at, and I'm gonna go out there and just like I always did, do my best.
Is it gonna be for 2021? Is it gonna be IndyCar or bust? Or I mean, are you open to other racing series? Are you open to returning to IMSA, NASCAR, at any, like, where is your head at?
Look, I don't have, obviously, if you ask me to go and do something else in another planet, I mean, it is a little bit hard because then they're going to start all over again. I feel that it's a little more, it makes more sense, you know, to stay where I'm at, which is IndyCar or IMSA, because I have the experience to start something all over again. Yeah, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not going to do it. But, you know, I'm going to start learning as well. And it's sometimes a little tough to teach an old dog a new trick. But we always open for a new opportunities. However, I feel it make more sense after all these years, just instead of just to, you know, like, try something else, why not stay in one of those series that probably we can take the best out of a combination together to achieve the result that we want.
Yeah, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, we talked about having the experience you have, you know, few others do, and, you know, it's a lot more powerful if that were in an IndyCar or to a lesser extent, but still a high level in sports cars at IMSA. But you know, it makes me wonder about, like, say, you know, Formula E or World Endurance Championship, something like that.
Yeah, for me, I love to, don't get me wrong. However, to learn the tracks, to learn the car, you know, in that environment, it becomes a little more around you. I mean, doesn't, like I said, I love to do Le Mans, never did it, but I would love to at least. I do with an Orica car that I already ran for 3 years. I already know the car. So that's one check in the box that you don't need to worry about it. Now you have the scene to learn to track, but also you got the experience to do the whole 24 hours. So all of these things, you know, you got to consider. And I'm obviously, opportunities are there. You're going to embrace it. But I I feel that it makes more sense to all the combinations, you know, all the, to feel, you know, everyone in your comfortable zone to be in IndyCar or IMSA, because I've been there so many times. I've been in the racetrack with those guys. I understand what I need to do to be fast, to be strong, and to achieve the result we want.
Got it. Well, it's interesting, too, because IMSA and the World Endurance Championship have actually been talking, and I think, you know, a version of the DPI is going to be racing in Le Mans soon. And, you know, if you never raced Le Mans before, maybe this isn't a bad time to do it. Maybe your experience in the Orica and now DPI cars could actually be really valuable to a World Endurance Championship team.
And that's exactly why I'm saying it's. I know I'm gonna continue racing, and I want to do that. But it, like I said, in a way that I feel it's best for everyone. And hopefully we have that opportunity, and now we just gotta put everything at your pace. Right now, focus at Indy 500. That's my goal, and try that number four that it's being passed due, I have to say. However, it obviously it's a place that the track picks you. You can do everything you in your hands and your team as well to scratch those boxes, meaning okay, car good, equipment good, experience ready to go. You know. But sometimes you can be the fastest guy out there and it might not be your day. So, but that's not what occurred in my mind. It's like, this is a great opportunity to go back with the Shell Pennzoil and number three, Yellow Submarine. And hopefully we can make what Rick Mears did a long time ago.
Well, I just hope that when you go to pit, everyone's going the pit speed limit. As opposed to some other random speed, right?
That would be my first question on the driver's meeting. Am I allowed to pass on the left? You know, everybody's thinking I'm over the speed limit. No, I want to be at the speed limit. Not
yeah, exactly.
So hopefully,
no one's speeding here.
Exactly. But, hopefully people understand that. And hopefully people, if they have an issue, go to the left lane and stay there so that it'll be convenient to the others. But yes, definitely... if I have to select the pit this year, I'm going to be the first one.
right. Let's just make that as easy as possible for everyone. And just maybe before the start of the race, just post some speed limit signs along the line. Like, hey, you can go
you
this fast.
You have a radar. Right. Look, you under. That means you can't go 10 miles. Right.
So you mentioned before, you've been with Penske since the year 2000. This is – you've been – you know, you're as part of the Penske family as much as anyone.
And you said a great word, family, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, for me, it's a very difficult situation because, and I understand the team as well. We've been for so long together. I'm so grateful for Roger and the whole entire team Penske for what they did. You know, they accept me. It's been a great partnership together. We won a lot of races, and they've been part of not only my career but of my entire life. And family is exactly the word that we gotta mention. I can thank Roger and Kathy and the entire family, Penske family, for embracing me. I mean, I remember seeing a lot of their son and daughters, like the age of my daughter now, and now they've grown up. So. It's a beautiful story, no question. And unfortunately, you know, it's business. Things sometimes doesn't last forever. Even if, you know, both part my wish, but business is business, and you just gotta keep it. You gotta keep it going.
Well, I mean, as you said before, you know, family is extremely important, but family doesn't pay the bills that it takes to go racing. You know, you need money to do that. And if the money's not there, it's just not there, right?
Exactly.
But let's just, you know, I sincerely hope and agree that there'd be a lot of reasons for a lot of teams to have a lot of interest in you. But is there any reason that you would say thanks but no thanks and you would actually stay with the Penske, spent with Penske not racing? Is there any reason you do that? Or is it really, no, I have to keep racing no matter what?
Well, in that circumstance, it's not much my option. As I said, I mean, as soon as Penske gave us the green flag, we, not only myself, but the other drivers as well, we were searching for an opportunity, whether it's, as I said, in IMSA or IndyCar. But, you know, who knows? We still, obviously, in August, and hopefully winning the Indy 500 will make very hard for Roger to say, okay, we got to do something together. But I, as I said, I do believe there is a lot of, as you mentioned, opportunity with other teams, and I believe I can bring so much. If whether it's a big team, whether it's a small team, I feel that the match can be there, and I just gotta continue working and do my best on the racetrack.
Well, there's one thing that you can provide that not any other driver on the track can, and that is free dance lessons to the team owner. It's like, look.
That's going to cost.
Elio, it's always great to talk to you. It's always great to see you, even though it's virtual. And I really appreciate you taking the time. And thank you for inspiring my hair.
Hey, thank you again. I hope to talk to you in the end of the race, and hopefully with a big trophy right here in my motorhome, or this way with your home.
Right. Yeah, and maybe one day in person again.
Well, that is a good place to end it. But before that happens, could you please head over to Apple Podcasts, drop a 5-star review, let us know how we're doing, let us know your thoughts, and do me another solid checkout, Auto Week's second podcast, Quick Spin. It's not available right here. I mean, one of the episodes will be. But got to head over to Quick Spin, wherever you get your podcasts, and download it. Subscribe. It is a great show, and we are proud of it. And you will enjoy it. But most importantly, thank you so much for listening.